The show is live and local. It's your local performance connection. I'm Kevin Kelly. On the show today, first up, I'll be talking with guitarist Sharon Isbin, who is one of many, many performers across all musical spectra who are playing at the Guitar Festival at the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts, known as El Nora. It opens on Thursday night with the opening night party and continues through Saturday. And Sharon will be performing on Saturday afternoon, one of a few classical guitarists who were on the festival. And then in the second portion of the show, I'll be talking with guitarist and mandolin player and singer Ricky Skaggs, who is with his band Kentucky Thunder at the Bloomington Center for the Performing Arts on Friday night. And we'll hear some of his music as well. It's live and local on FM 90.9. We just heard Asturias, a piece by Isaac Albéniz, as transcribed by Andres Segovia and performed by guitarist Sharon Isbin, who is going to be one of the many guitarists at the El Nora Guitar Festival at the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts this week. She's playing Saturday at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and that comes off of a brand new CD called Sharon Isbin and Friends, Guitar Passions. Is the name of it. Just came out on Sony Masterworks, and Sharon Isbin's with me on the phone right now here on Live and Local. Thanks for joining us.
It's a pleasure to join you.
So this was a wonderful CD to sample, and I like the name of it, Guitar Passions, because it's and plural, because it's not just your passion, but the passion of all the other folks you've got involved on this CD. Was this your brainchild?
Well, you're right. It is our shared passion for the guitar, and the idea was really from Sony to do a guitar tribute album and to bring into the fold guests who have been my colleagues and friends and musical collaborators. So I was thrilled. There are actually 8 guests on the album, and we touch into genres as different as from classical as pop and rock and Brazilian jazz. So it was enormously fun to put together. And in fact, if you like the Asturias that you just heard, you can actually see a very new, brand new music video that we did of that. And that's on the video page of my website, which is simply SharonIsbin.com.
And you spell it, by the way, I-S-B-I-N.
Right, all I's.
Which I had to remind myself of because I was spelling it wrong for a while, and then I looked at your website.
Well, the easiest way to remember is the Library of Congress cataloging number on the back of every book is I-S-B-N. Just add one more I and you got it.
The librarians will certainly remember that. So some of these folks you've worked with before. You've recorded with Paul Winter before. You've recorded with Tiago de Mello before, the percussionist. Here. Others of these folks have you worked with before, either in concert or in recording?
Well, Steve Vai is a very dear friend of mine for several years now. We began playing together, must be at least 7 years ago. And in fact, when the Théâtre du Châtelet, which is basically the Carnegie Hall of Paris, asked me to put together and perform a week of works of different concerts, and they offered to commission anybody I wanted, I asked if Steve Vai would write a piece for the two of us, and he comes from the rock world, really one of the legends in that world. So he wrote a beautiful work called The Blossom Suite that was too long to do for this album, but when we were hanging out at his house and just doing some improvisations, the idea of doing the Allegro from the Barrios Catedral was born, and that's what we ended up deciding to do for the CD. Eventually we'll do The Blossom Suite, but right now we're starting with this. And Steve is just a really extraordinarily lyrical player, so creative and inventive, and a wonderful person as well.
And of course that has the interesting mix of purely acoustic guitar with electric guitar of
and
Steve
that's
Vai in there.
Something you know I've been doing for a very long time. Back in the 80s, I had a trio called Guitar Jam with Larry Coryell and Laurindo Almeida. Laurindo, of course, being the Brazilian guitarist who brought bossa nova to the West. And in fact, one of the works on the Guitar Passion CD is a tribute to him, because he made an arrangement of the adagio from Rodrigo's Concierto de Aranjuez that the three of us used to perform a lot. And we've given it a new incarnation now, with Romero Lubambo taking over Laurindo's part, and I asked him to do some improvisations on it as well. And Steve Morse does the electric guitar bossa improv that is just unbelievable what he does with that. He really rocks out. It's quite something.
Yeah, and that's a piece you've recorded in its original form, of course, the Concierto de Aranjuez.
Right, these are the only two recordings that were ever done. The one that Laurindo and I and Larry did back in the 80s, and then now in this new configuration with Romero and with Steve Morse. Steve used to be with the Dixie Dregs, so he was quite well known in that context, and just did the Deep Purple tour all over the world and this year, and also another great guy and so creative and inventive. And Stanley Jordan and I actually toured together back in the late 90s. So when this whole project started, these were some of the names that first came to mind. Steve Morse I had met when I invited him to perform in my festival that Carnegie Hall had asked me to create back in 1985. It was called Guitar Stream 85. And Stanley Jordan and I were touring in the context of a Guitar Summit tour. So I suggested a piece by a wonderful Argentinian composer that's not even published and rarely has anyone heard it. It's called Sonidos de Aquel Día, Sounds of a Special Day. And I play the part that Quique Senese wrote, and then I asked Stanley to improvise his part to that, and it's just unbelievable what he did. And Stanley is, of course, the jazz guitarist who created the whole tapping technique to play the guitar, the electric guitar, steel string, like a keyboard on your lap, tapping it.
And it's a beautiful duet that you do here. So, why don't we hear a little bit of this one?
Sure.
Is Sonidos de Aquel Día, Quique Senese. That's how you said his name?
Quique Senese, yes.
Senese. So it's Sharon Isbin with Stanley Jordan from the new CD. It's just out on Sony, called Guitar Passions with Sharon Isbin and Friends. Sharon Isbin will be at the Elnora Guitar Festival at the Krannert Center in solo recital this Saturday afternoon at 3 o'clock. That was guitarist Sharon Isbin and guitarist Stanley Jordan, best known in the jazz world. Music by Quique Senese, Sonidos de Aquel Día, from the disc Guitar Passions, just out on Sony Masterworks, here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. Sharon Isbin is my guest on this portion of the show. You've had so many firsts. The Krannert Center's description of you in their promotion in their Elnora Guitar Festival this week talks a lot about them. First classical guitarist to receive a Grammy in 28 years. First and so far only guitarist to record with the New York Philharmonic. That's incredible to even fathom. Is that really true?
Yeah, it's hard to believe that still some of the resistance to guitar that was founded in lack of repertoire back in the 19th century and then lack of amplification might still linger today, but that certainly is changing. But each time there is a forward motion as a pioneer, one really does feel like breaking ground there.
That's amazing. Does one amplify a guitar with an orchestra on the concertos?
I always do, because then I can use a very natural wireless sound system that I had designed for me so that nobody knows it's amplified, but you can actually hear the guitar and hear all the nuances and a wide dynamic range, and that's much better than trying to just simply force the sound and be heard as opposed to make beauty.
Yeah, that would be nice to be heard if you're going to be in the midst of the orchestra. And then there's the first also, which seems equally incredible somehow, the first and so far only head of the guitar department at the Juilliard School in New York. Again, really nobody's ever taught guitar there?
No, they asked me to create the program just a little over 20 years ago, and I was thrilled and honored to be able to design it as I really felt the guitar should be included in not only its own world, but in the world of string playing and vocal arts and wind playing, so that it could have opportunities for chamber music, orchestral playing. And this is really what has happened, and all the other departments were equally delighted to welcome the guitar so that their students could perform with mine.
And so talk a little bit about how you do structure that program and maybe how it's different from your understanding at some other schools.
Well, I think that it's really, since the guitar is not part of an orchestra, that playing with other instruments really develops a sense of tone and color, rhythm, reciprocity when it comes to sharing artistic ideas and being part of music making that is on a larger context. So it also gives you the opportunity to play different kinds of repertoire that you can't do simply as a soloist. So integrating the guitar into the mainstream of Juilliard has been a goal that I have been very pleased to accomplish.
Do you work with students there on a lot of newer music and emphasize it all to them? Should they go out and become concertizers of doing some of the commissioning that you have done?
Well, I encourage them to try to make a contribution that no one else has done, and that's what would be what would distinguish them in addition to being a fine player. So one of the things that I did, for example, was I spent 10 years studying Baroque performance practice with Rosalind Turek, the great keyboard artist and Bach scholar and interpreter. And I did that because I wanted to learn how to play Bach in a way that hadn't yet happened on the guitar, and her knowledge of Baroque performance practice was extraordinary. So I pass that on to my students and hope that they pass it on to theirs as well. And when it comes to contemporary music, I encourage them to seek out composers at Juilliard and elsewhere that they admire and work with them and try to create something that will be captivating and compelling to listeners, and that will expand the instrument, and to make arrangements of things if they come from foreign countries, to explore the music of their own culture. All of this is a way of designing a program so that each individual student feels as if what they are interested in and what they're passionate about is special, and that I would encourage.
And you said, of course, that you emphasize chamber music and playing with others in the program there, which, of course, you've exemplified a lot, but also in some unusual combinations, some of which are on this CD, Guitar Passions, but also some that you've done in the past. You've referenced some of those. But one of them that I wanted to do a little back-to-back here playing, you did a CD, I guess, in 2009 called Journey to the New World, and part of it paying tribute to the great folk singer Joan Baez. And you don't usually think necessarily of classical guitar and folk singers together, but you do actually do something with her.
Mm-hmm.
What was the inspiration behind that?
The inspiration behind the Journey to the New World
really
began when I asked John Dwart, the late British composer, to write a work that would pay homage to Joan Baez, my favorite folk singer. And this was following the success of another work he'd written for me called Appalachian Dreams on an album called Dreams of a World. And John was delighted to approach this project. The two of us got together source material, and Joan Baez gave it her blessing. She thought it was a great idea. So when it was finally born and she had a chance to hear it, she actually offered to sing on the album a couple of songs, Wayfaring Stranger and Go Away From My Window, which for me was, again, amazing experience to be able to play with someone I admired for so long and whose music has brought me to tears for as long as I can remember. So as I began to assemble this, I was also in rehearsals with Mark O'Connor to premiere a work that he'd written for the two of us that is a folk suite for violin and guitar, sort of tracing the folk history of violin in the United States, starting way back with the old Irish jigs and reels, moving through ragtime and swing and bebop. And I realized in the context of all of this that I had an album that really could be something of a history of the evolution of folk music from the British Isles, the old world, traveling with the immigrants and their dreams, hopes, and music to the new world. And I began with some duets that I played with myself from the 16th century in the British Isles, then traveled through Scotland and Ireland, 17th and 18th century. And it really was very exciting to see all of us come together in a way I hadn't actually planned, but simply fell into place.
And of course, the guitar is almost always with the folk singer, who almost inevitably plays the guitar as well. So here you're working with Joan Baez. You're the guitarist, she's the voice. You get to do things separately. And here's the result. It's Wayfaring Stranger, Sharon Isbin with Joan Baez from the disc called Journey to the New World. And you can hear Sharon Isbin in solo recital Saturday at the Krannert Center in Urbana. We just heard Sharon Isbin with Joan Baez and the tune Wayfaring Stranger here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. Sharon Isbin is with me on the phone. Just out of curiosity, have you ever done any singing yourself?
I have studied voice, but I only do that in private.
so you've never gone the folk singer route?
No, but I love working with singers, and that to me is really what I try to create on the guitar, is that lyrical sense, the vocal sense, and that's what has always inspired me.
Let's go back a little bit to close out actually our conversation here to the new CD, because these are such wonderful collaborations you have here. It's Sharon Isbin and Friends Guitar Passions on Sony Masterworks. And I mentioned the singer. You said you've enjoyed working with singers, and the singer Rosa Passos is on one of your collaborations here. I am trying to remember if that's a name I even know or not. It sounds familiar. How did you encounter her?
Well, she did some collaboration on one of Yo-Yo Ma's projects, and Sony actually suggested her because she is a singer-guitarist, like Nancy Wilson, for example. When we did Dreamboat Annie, the idea of including Nancy is not only is she a wonderful singer, but also a stunning rock guitarist. So since this is a guitar tribute, there's a connection to that instrument and everything on the track. So Rosa arranged the guitar part that I played to accompany her, and Carlos Barbosa Lima, who I've been friends with since I was 14, the Brazilian guitarist and one of the most extraordinary arrangers of our time, as well as a fine player, he did the setting of the solos that I do with Rosa. So when she's not singing, I'm playing Carlos's arrangement, and when she is singing, I'm playing her arrangement.
That's a serious collaboration there. And then you have the percussionist you've worked with before, Gaudencio Tiago de Mello. Is he also Brazilian?
He's so delightful. Tiago de Mello is actually from an Indian tribe of the Amazon, believe it or not. And I've been performing and collaborating with him as well as Paul Winter for many years. So his instruments are handheld, handmade, and evocative of the sounds of the rainforest.
Well, you can check out various videos and lots of articles and interviews about Sharon Isbin, and of course see her full recorded legacy and have an opportunity to buy things there on SharonIsbin.com. And more to the point, you have the chance to go hear her live in solo recital this Saturday afternoon at 3 o'clock at the Krannert Center in Urbana, part of El Nora, the Guitar Festival, which of course has guitarists from all across the musical spectrum on that festival. Let's go out with, I think we'll play these two tunes back to back with Rosa Passos, the vocalist, also with Tiago de Mello, the percussionist, and then you mentioned, since you mentioned Paul Winter, the sax player, we'll do these pieces together. Cardenioso is the name of one of them, by Alfredo Viana, and then O Presidente by Tiago de Mello, as a matter of fact, with Sharon Isbin, the guitarist, pulling it all together from the CD Sharon Isbin and Friends called Guitar Passions, just out on Sony. Thank you very much for joining us on Live and Local.
Oh, it's really a pleasure, and I look forward to the concert.
Listening to Live and Local on FM 90.9. We have support today from World Harvest International and Gourmet Foods on the corner of 6th and University in Champaign, providing Champaign-Urbana with an international selection of chocolates, cheeses, oils, balsamic vinegar, jam, spices, barbecue sauces, and more. World Harvest invites you to join them in supporting public radio. We also have support from Sweeney Brothers Carpet and Rug Gallery of Bloomington and Nurison Preferred Dealer at 11 Westport Court on Bloomington's east side. Sweeney Brothers, where the beauty of a room starts with the floor. On Friday at the Bloomington Center for the Performing Arts, you can go hear Ricky Skaggs, the, by now probably safe to say legendary country and bluegrass performer on guitar and mandolin and, of course, vocalist. He's going to be with his band Kentucky Thunder and on their what they call their Treasure Chest Tour. Concert starts at 7:30, and Ricky Skaggs will be joining me in a matter of minutes here on Live and Local. There was a tune called Uncle Pen off of the latest CD by Ricky Skaggs and the group called Kentucky Thunder. The disc is called Country Hits Bluegrass Style, celebrates Ricky Skaggs' 50th year in music, and he is going to be at the Bloomington Center for the Performing Arts on Friday at 7:30, and he's with me on the phone from right near Nashville here on Live and Local. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, great to talk to you this morning. Thanks for having me on.
So 50 years in music, and a lot of that was in the country area. And more recently, in the last couple decades, I guess, focusing a lot more on bluegrass, hence this new CD, Country Hits Bluegrass Style. If you started in bluegrass, what got you headed into country music instead, which is really how you got your name in the first place?
Well, bluegrass has kind of been with me all the time. I mean, it was one of those things, it's like a leopard or a zebra. You kind of can't really hide, you know, your colors and the stripes. I started out playing mandolin when I was 5 years old and started playing guitar right after that, you know, then banjo, then fiddle. And so I've been very... very much a bluegrass player, you know, all those years. And really it wasn't until I started work with Emmy Lou Harris in 1978 that I worked with her in 78, 79, and up until August of 1980. I really had never played in a full country, you know, full band. I mean, as far as I say full band, I mean a band with drums and electric guitar and electric bass, piano, steel guitar, electric guitar. Had never worked with a band like that other than a bluegrass band before, you know. So working with her was a way that was kind of like a training ground for me. I worked with her for those 2.5 years and she got pregnant. Her and her husband decided to start a family, and she when the baby came, she took a year off, and so I realized that I was going to have to, you know, to get out and try to find some work and you know, get my career off and going. And so it was time to get out of that nest and try to find something for myself. And you know, luckily I had been in the studio working on some new music, kind of a mixture of country and bluegrass together. And anyway, I got to play it for Rick Blackburn here in Nashville. He was the head of Columbia and Epic Records at the time, and so I got an audience with him. He heard the music and loved it, signed me, and in 1981 started putting out you know, singles on me, and the first single, you know, was went to, I think, maybe 24, something like that. The second single went top 10. Third single went number one. And so I was kind of on my way into a country music career, you know. And but like I said, even the first single that I put out, it was called Don't Get Above Your Raisin. It was so bluegrass. It was like bluegrass with drums. I mean, it really was. It was, you know, I was kind of trying to find a sound and find something that was kind of mine, or something that, you know, was kind of a signature sound for me. And so that definitely, you know, it had, you know, had electric guitar, but it also had a dobro, which is a slide guitar that Jerry Douglas had played. I played mandolin on it, an acoustic guitar, and we had, you know, kind of a honky-tonk, you know, acoustic piano on it that my father-in-law, Buck White, played. So, you know, it was a bluegrass / country sound, and I think that stayed with me even all through the country days, because there were so many number one country hits that I had that I had brought out of bluegrass, things like Crying My Heart Out Over You, Uncle Penn, Don't Cheat in Our Hometown, Wouldn't Change You If I Could. All those songs that became number one country hits for me, those four especially that I mentioned, had previously, you know, been recorded by bluegrass artists. So I was pulling from bluegrass, but I was also finding things like, you know, from Rodney Crowell and other, you know, Guy Clark, people like that, like Heartbreak, which was was one of my biggest country hits, and then an old song that Mel Tillis had written for Webb Pierce called Honey Open That Door, which wasn't a really, really big hit for Webb. It wasn't as big as I Ain't Never, which was a huge hit for Webb Pierce back in the 50s, but Honey Open That Door was kind of one of those sleepers that just kind of wasn't really huge for him, but gosh, when I recorded it was just the right time for it to come out, you know, and that was one of my biggest hits that I ever had, was Honey Open That Door.
Well, since you've mentioned that one, actually most of the ones you've just now mentioned as being these big hits, drawn from bluegrass especially, are on your new CD. And since you mentioned Honey Open That Door, why don't we give it a listen? I assume these are all remade for this recording.
Yeah, we redid these, and we kind of did them a little bit more bluegrass than what we originally cut them. Just for the fact that, you know, we've been playing bluegrass, I think you may have mentioned, but we've been playing bluegrass pretty much full time since 1997. I came out of the country music, you know, I don't know what to call it. You know, I came out of the field of country music, or the music row, kind of came away from the big commercial grinding stone, and came back to bluegrass because there were so many reasons that I came back. My father passed away in 1996. He was a huge bluegrass fan, wanted me to be playing some more bluegrass, you know, and of course Bill Monroe passed away the same year, which was kind of my musical father. And so I just I felt like that it was a good time for me to, you know, I'd had a really good career in country music and made a great name for myself and sold a lot of records, won a lot of awards, but there was a real desire in my heart to come back and play a music that I felt like really deserved my time and deserved my attention. That was bluegrass. I felt like there was a real some spontaneous combustion about to happen in bluegrass, you know, with a lot of young artists like Alison Krauss, Nickel Creek, some other young groups that were really starting to make some noise, you know. And I felt like with Mr. Monroe, you know, passing on, that it, you know, bluegrass needed some leadership, you know, and I felt like I could bring something to the party, you know.
Well, here's Honey Open That Door. It's from Ricky Skaggs and Kentucky Thunder. The new disc is called Country Hits Bluegrass Style, and they are going to be in Bloomington on Friday night at the Center for the Performing Arts. It's Ricky Skaggs here on Live and Local. Honey, Open That Door is the name of the tune, one of the big hits for Ricky Skaggs, and remade with his band Kentucky Thunder off of their new CD. And he's going to be playing with the band in Bloomington on Friday night. Ricky Skaggs here with me on Live and Local. You know, there's a note on your biography, on your website, that quotes Chet Atkins crediting you with, quote, single-handedly, unquote, saving country music. What do you think he meant by that?
Well, I think Chet. I think what he was saying was that, you know, country music, as we all grew up knowing it, loving it, listening to it, playing it, had really started to change in the early '80s. You know, late '70s, early '80s. The urban cowboy thing had come out. Pop country had really come out and gotten very popular, I think. And it was moving farther and farther away from the real center of country music of George Jones and Buck Owens and Ray Price and Webb Pierce and, you know, Tammy Wynette and, you know, artists like that, you know. And I think the new artists that were coming out especially were singing more pop and trying to sell records in the pop market, you know. And I think, you know, I think Chet realized that, you know, even some of the music that he had made, that Nashville sound had kind of gotten a little, you know, a little out of control, you know, and that someone like myself that loved bluegrass, loved traditional country and gospel, and that was a player as well, not just a singer and a producer, but also a musician that could play his own instruments. I think Chet just saw that as being, you know, everything I needed, you know, to bring traditional country music as we put and loved it, bring it back to Nashville and make it popular again. And I think that's really what he was saying, what he was seeing and hearing out of me. I felt like that was the quote that he made.
Well, right at the start of of our conversation, you referred to learning mandolin, guitar. I think, did you say fiddle?
Fiddle and banjo.
And I mean, you can do enough to be your own bluegrass band if you just wanted to do a solo album overdubbing yourself.
Well, I did that.
Which not everybody could do.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I got a chance to do that here 3 or 4 years ago. I did a CD called Songs My Dad Loved. And, you know, me and my dad was very, very close, and he was so instrumental in getting me started and you know, practicing with me and giving me the time to learn stuff. You know, he was just a great dad and a wonderful person. And so I did a record for him, you know. Of course, he passed on in 96, and I guess it was probably 2006, maybe, that or 7, that I got to do this record, Songs My Dad Loved. And it was just a bunch of old things that he and I played together when I was growing up, and things that I know he loved, things that I love to hear him sing, and that kind of thing. So, and I did it, you know, by myself with overdubs. I did the guitar tracks first, and then I'd lay a fiddle down, or I'd put the banjo on it, or you know, but a bunch of different instruments, just kind of building a track, you know, and but thinking of him the whole time, because I know that you know, I've got a great fiddle player in Andy Leftwich. He's one of the best fiddle players in bluegrass, I think. And also Cody Kilby, a great, great guitar player. I just got a great band, Kentucky Thunder. They, you know, they could have all played what was on there. But for me to take the time to show them how to play this fiddle part the way my dad liked to hear me play it, or the banjo part the way my dad wanted me to play it, you know, it was just crazy to take that time when I could do it myself, you know, and make it really sound more authentic, you know.
Well, and it, I mean,
rough it just around the edges. So that's why I did the whole thing myself.
Well, and it is much more of a personal love letter, really, I guess.
Well, it was. I think it was just a little love kiss for old Pop, you know.
You referred to, you know, wanting to kind of show them how it might be done, and you referred to Bill Monroe as one of your musical fathers, and you've become a musical father as well. Who would you say are some of the folks who have really been learning from Ricky Skaggs?
Well, golly, you know, I don't know. I think, you know, I think some of the young guys that are out there, I know some guys in my band really, you know, have learned a lot, and I think from me, Leftwich for sure loves my old time fiddle style, and then you know, I think you know, I think groups like you know, Cadillac Sky and Blue Highway and Lonesome River Band, some of those guys, I think learned you know, some of my music back early, but you know, it's hard to say, you know, sometimes the apple rolls down the hill far from the tree, and sometimes it just lays there right by the tree. So, you know, you just never know who's going to walk by and pick it up, you know, and eat from it, you know.
I'll bet there would be some way to do a Google search for the various folks who credit Ricky Skaggs as one of their musical fathers. And we could probably find that out if we worked hard enough.
Probably so. You can find anything on Google or Bing.
Yeah, that's right. Bing is on my phone, and I don't know the slightest idea how to use it.
I know.
Well, I really appreciate your taking the time to talk with us. Ricky Skaggs and Kentucky Thunder are going to be at the Bloomington Center for the Performing Arts Friday night at 7:30. And they're calling it the Treasure Chest Tour. Why are you calling it that, by the way?
There's an old scripture in the Bible that says, a good man takes from his treasure chest things old and things new. And that's kind of what this tour is all about, is that, you know, I am bringing some of my country band. So we will be doing some songs like Honey Open That Door and Heart Broke and things like that. We'll be doing those songs the way that people heard them back in the 80s and early 90s. For people that hasn't heard Ricky Skaggs with his country band, this will be a perfect opportunity, you know, to come see what I was playing in the 80s. But my wonderful band, Kentucky Thunder, my bluegrass band, will be there blazing and playing faster than what you can think. And it'll be a great night. And then we'll also be doing some songs from my most recent gospel record called Mosaic. And so that'll be a treat as well. So it's kind of like, I don't know, maybe the best of Ricky Skaggs for the last 30 years, you know, in professional music. So it's a really good show. We did some of those this weekend, and played the Minnesota State Fair, and folks loved it up there. So it's kind of just nostalgic, you know, to go back and hear Ricky Skaggs' music from the 80s again, because, you know, in 97 I started playing bluegrass pretty much full time, and haven't traveled with steel guitar and drums and piano. So to hear that with Kentucky Thunder is a real treat.
And since you said they'll be doing some blazing fast bluegrass tunes, I'm willing to bet that Country Boy off the new album is one of those.
It's a great cut. This is, I think, I think this is better than the original cut. I love the way that this one came out on Country Hits Bluegrass Style. Thanks for having me on today, too. I appreciate it.
My pleasure. It's Ricky Skaggs here on Live and Local. Skaggs on Live and Local on FM 90.9. Some other events you can go out and see and hear live in our listening area. Larkin Poe plays acoustic country and bluegrass music at the Castle Theater in Bloomington tonight at 8 o'clock. And as the Corn Desert Ramblers, or more likely the, forgetting the name of their other sort of subset, branch off at the Clark Bar in downtown Champaign tonight at 6:30. The traditional jazz orchestras at the Iron Post in Urbana this evening at 5 o'clock. Violinist Sarah Gentry plays the Charles W. Boland Faculty Recital at Illinois State University in Kemp Recital Hall in Normal. That's tonight at 7:30. Tomorrow evening in Bloomington, it's the Brian Chobin Jazz Quintet. They're playing at Fat Jack's at 5:30. Another faculty recital at ISU tomorrow night, it's Joshua Russell giving a piano recital. That also is in Kemp Recital Hall in Normal on the campus there. Time showing here at 8 o'clock for tomorrow night. Donnie Heitler has his weekly solo jazz piano gig at the Great Impasta in Urbana tomorrow evening at 6 o'clock. And it's the weekly session of traditional live Irish music at Bentley's Pub in downtown Champaign. That's tomorrow evening at 7 o'clock. And the Jay Sawyer Quintet with Jordan Richards play jazz at the Iron Post tomorrow evening at 5, followed by the Eric Lund Quintet. That's tomorrow evening then at tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. The Community Players Theater in Bloomington are presenting And Then There Were None Thursday through Saturday at 7:30 with a Sunday matinee at 2:30. And a poke program at Conklin's Barn 2 Dinner Theater. It's called Look, No Hans, H-A-N-S. I don't know if it's pronounced Hans or Hans, but it has an exclamation point after it. Conklin's Barn 2 Dinner Theater in Goodfield. That's running for quite a while yet, Thursday through Sunday, through Saturday this week at 8 o'clock with a Sunday matinee. Support for our show here on FM 90.9 comes from the Corkscrew Wine Emporium, 203 North Vine, Urbana, with wines, beers, and spirits for the serious collector to the first-time buyer. Wine tastings are held on Saturdays from 3 to 6:30 p.m. in the Bouvon Wine Bar. More information is at thecorkscrew.com. And on tomorrow's Live and Local, I'll be talking with Ollie Watts-Davis of the University of Illinois Black Chorus and Carol Carlson of the choirs at Illinois State University. Both schools will be giving 9/11 programs this coming Sunday. You're listening to 90.9 WYLL FM and HD Urbana with translators W266 AF Urbana and W293 AF Danville, NPR Classical Music, and more for Central Illinois.